You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
God, thank you that you love us, that you call us by name, that we are yours, that you remind us over and over again in the foibles of our own kind of misguided perceptions and misunderstandings. You continue to draw us close, to draw us in, to remind us, to reshape us. And thank you, Lord, for stories and how they point us ultimately to the biggest story, the best story of a God who would redeem all of his creation. So, Lord, we just ask that this time would be meaningful, fun, but also ultimately solidifying the truths of the gospel for us. Write these things on our hearts, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right. So, Toy Story, the story of these toys. I mean, I think it just taps into what we all innately love as human beings is good stories. We love to tell each other tales, whether it's on the golf course or at the dinner table, in the carpool line, whatever it is, we've got a story to tell. Sometimes it's humorous, sometimes it's full of drama, sometimes it's, can you believe this? But we're wired as narrative creatures, we're wired to tell stories. And Toy Story is just, it's more than a kid's movie, right? I think some of you might agree. And maybe it's because I'm a parent, but also I saw some of these before I became a parent. And they made me cry every time. They just bring me to a puddle of tears. I think there's something about a story that can really emotionally connect for us, to relate to us with a language, I think, Jay, of love and grace that that maybe is outside of the religious order, but it's more of a relatable relational dynamic. So I think Toy Story captures our imagination. It's an entertaining as well as elicits some kind of, provocative emotion from us.
Stories draw us in. I mean, this is, of course, as you read the Bible, I mean, the Bible has many genres, right? But I think most of us, for the most part, we're kind of drawn to story. Maybe we like Paul's letters. Maybe we like, most of us don't say Leviticus is our favorite book. At night my kids say, tell me a story. They don't say, read the phone book to me. There's something about seeing ourselves depicted. Even if it's not explicitly us, we get drawn in. So, yeah. Toy Story, actually, 97, I think, the first film. That was my first, actually my second, the first that I remember. I apparently saw Lion King, but I don't remember that. But I saw Toy Story in theaters with my cousins, and I remember that well. So that one sticks with me particularly.
Yeah, it's formative. They've kind of traced, the first movie came out, mid-90s. And then
96.
And then it was like 4 years later, and Andy, the boy, had grown up, and is now kind of older as a child. And then there's a bigger gap of time, and he's going off to college for the third one, And so then there's a new crisis for this group of toys. So there is a generation of people that grew up actually in this kind of age. If you were a '90s kid, this will probably, remind you of some of those things. So there's a likability to these characters. Everybody kind of can connect to one of the characters. They're funny. They have emotions like fear and anxiety and insecurity and doubt, as well as they just love being toys and they love play. And the language of play is, I think, something that we largely lose pretty early on in our advancement in society as we get into school and grades become more serious and it becomes about excellence and excelling. Youth sports go from recreation to now we're getting serious and the competition level heightens, right? Or, the performance level of expectation grows. And so I think play is such a fundamental aspect of being human. And I even like the idea theologically of being able to play, right? All analogies break down at some point, but it's helpful for us to have mental images or pictures or relatable scenarios that help us to kind of overlay our experience in the world with what the gospel is telling us is true of God. To your point, Jay, it's not a phone book or it's not a scientific book of exactly step 1, 2, 3, and 4, but rather this narrative quality of a God who relationally engages his creatures. So there's themes that we'll see in some of these clips that we'll delve into, themes of belonging, identity, purpose. I mean, those are fundamental to what it means to be a human being, to have agency in the world. We need to know where we fit, how we belong, and that we actually have something to offer in our existence. And so I think that's where the grace of the gospel can really meet us. And you'll see, we'll see some elements of grace or lost things being found, as it were. So,
I'd be curious, how many of you have seen all five movies? Okay, a handful. I've seen 4.5. I didn't quite finish 5 this week. We actually bought it, and the kids wanted to watch it, but my youngest couldn't quite make it all the way through. So we still have the, no spoilers, I hope, this morning. We do have a clip from the 5th, but no spoilers. I was just curious, yeah. Yeah.
That's right. So, you know, we have, you know, the, Jesus in the gospel saying, unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And obviously, he doesn't mean something about immaturity or a type of ignorance, but just the posture, right? That posture of imagination, of tapping into things we actually desire. C.S. Lewis, you might know in the Narnia series, he writes before Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe to his goddaughter, and he writes to her this sentence, someday you will be old enough to start reading fairy tales again. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, one day you'll appreciate this in a new way because it's so layered. It's so, you know, and the Muppets were always good this way, right? Like, you could appreciate it as a as an adult as well as for a child. And I think Toy Story captures that, too. Like, we might be someday old enough to appreciate the underlying themes and messages. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Jesus saying, you know, let the little children come to me. For do not hinder them, for to such belong the kingdom of God.
I think he also tells us to have a childlike faith, doesn't he?
Exactly. So, should we play the first clip here?
Okay, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So, here's a clip from Toy Story 2.
Andy! you home.
So, you know, there's always some scenario whereby there's a crisis the toys have to navigate, and what comes up many times is this, you know, somebody is adrift, astray, has gotten caught up in something they shouldn't have, and here you see Buzz. Buzz imagines himself to be something of great import, right? Like, he's been sent here from another planet, and he's on a mission to thwart this evil Emperor Zurg's plan, and so Woody's here trying to remind him, no, you're a toy. And I think there's so much about my own life. I have grandiose thoughts about who I am and the agency I occupy in the world. Why can't everybody drive as good as me? Why can't everybody, you know?
You're a sad, sick little man.
I know, you know? Just the judgmental thoughts that come, that rise up in my own heart. I imagine myself to be better than I am, right? In my worst moments. And then I need something to jar me and remind me what I really am. You're a toy. You know, your agency is not as grandiose and magnificent as you would think. And so I think that's very relatable for all of us, that we kind of outkick our coverage from time to time, or make plans that we never can fulfill.
Yeah, I mean, that's Buzz, of course, the grandiose ideas of oneself, but Woody, too. I mean, Woody throughout, who's definitely the protagonist, you know, you would say the good guy, but he really struggles. He wants to be first. He wants to be the most loved toy. And I just see, like, Peter and the disciples vying for Jesus' attention, want to be his left side and his right. Woody's not immune from insecurity.
That's a great point. So there's actually a second clip that we're going to kind of couple with this one.
As you're getting that going, it's 1995 is when Toy Story came out. I said 97, then I said 96, and I was thinking, what grade was I in when I saw it? Yeah, it's 95.
Yeah, it's important that we're accurate for this. Pixar will really care. Alright, so this one's from Toy Story 4, and a new character, my personal favorite character and local Sanford legend, voice Tony Hale's character, who's called Sporky, who is made by, so if you know the thematic plot of Toy Story, Andy has these toys, and at some point he goes to college, and it's a real tearjerker, but he ends up bequeathing his toy treasure trove to this young girl named Bonnie. And Bonnie is starting kindergarten, and she goes into the classroom, and it's a really scary, kind of insecure place for her. And Woody helps her basically make something with glue and a spork and some pipe cleaners. And so out comes this new character. Well, because he's made out of pieces Woody got out of the trash, Sporky continually is trying to return to what he thinks is his home instead of the grand plan of I'm here to rescue the planet from an evil emperor. He just thinks he's trash and he belongs in a trash can. So he tries to escape, and this is the scene where Woody's trying to convince Sporky he has a better calling than being trash.
Sporky, I am not a toy. I'm a spork. Sporky, where are you? Sporky!
that she... Look, she plays with you all the time, right?
Yes.
And who does she sleep with every night?
The big white fluffy thing?
No, not her pillow. You. All right, Forky, you have to understand how lucky you are right now. Your Bonnie's toy. You are going to help create happy memories that will last for the rest of her life.
Huh? What?
Oh, God.
But you know, I just love that they take it to these silly places, and then there's like a really profound thing that one of the toys says to the other, you know, trying to speak comfort, you know. Woody's the one trying to straighten out Forky, and then Forky's reminding Woody of something really important, you know, where he finds comfort. And so that's all of us in some way, and it's important to know too that on the bottom of some of the toys is written the owner of the toy. So Andy is written on the bottom of Woody's foot, and there's another scene where he discovers that and is reminded, oh, I belong to this kid. And the same is true of Forky, that Bonnie wrote her name on the bottom of his little feet sticks there. They are marked literally as their owners. So here we have a reminder about belonging and identity and purpose. 2 Corinthians 1:21-22, it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, who has also put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. We are all toys, as it were, but we've been marked, we've been claimed. We've been bought with a price, and that's what we remind each other every time we gather, whether it's in corporate worship, small groups, Bible study, and just a lunch with a friend. It's meant to reinforce what's actually the truest thing about us, that we've been claimed.
I think it was you coined the phrase that the name is written on their soul. You meant S-O-L-E, S-O-U-L, it's both.
Right.
Yeah, is this a good time for the baptism story, you think?
I think so.
Yeah. So baptism stories are foundational for me. I've told a few. One that I often share with the inquirers is when I was in New York, we had a young man call the church, and he wanted his name removed. No, excuse me. He wanted his baptism revoked. That was the language. Not just that he wanted his name removed from the church rolls, but he wanted his baptism revoked. And I said, sorry, we can't do that. You've been claimed. I can take your name off the church roll. Your baptism cannot be nullified. You are marked as Christ's own forever, whether you like it or not. And I know, yes, faith does have to take hold. I'm not saying that faith does not take hold, but for me, that was a preaching opportunity to remind him of who he actually is, much what Forky was doing for Woody and Woody for Forky. And I love that imagery, too, because you expect that Woody's the one who's the hierarchically, he's the tool who's in charge, he's been around, but Forky can also encourage. And I think in the church, too, we often think that church staff and clergy and wardens and vestry and leaders in the church have it all figured out, but actually, I have to have my batteries recharged by people preaching the gospel to me, too, reminding me of who I belong, to whom I belong. So, yeah, I don't know if that... I never heard from that young man again in New York, but for me, I was going to put a stone in his shoe and say, yeah, you belong to Christ. You take it up with him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, God's calling and gifts are irrevocable, and there is something that the proclaimed word and the message of the gospel going forth, like, it will have its effect. And for those of us, like, we all would have a testimony, right, of some kind, of a time when that message landed in a particular way, or a time when it drifted and was more distant, or when you needed something to jolt you and go, this is the truest thing. This is actually good news for you. And it's irrespective of your work, your perceived worth or value or works or deeds or anything like that. So I love Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 1 and 2. You've probably heard this before, but what is your only comfort in life and in death? This is our comfort. It's that I'm not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ by his Holy Spirit assures me of eternal life. It makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. And notice that's not really our choosing, our equipping, our ability. It's not based on us at all, actually. It's based on fully on what Jesus Christ has done. And so that's where Toy Story has that kind of reminder. You can never not be a toy. You're claimed. You're marked.
And you're not trash.
And you are not trash.
You may feel like trash. Yeah. Your resume may say you're trash, but we are who God says we are. We're not trash. We're his beloved, beloved creator. Creation. He's the creator.
Yeah. That's great. So here's another clip from Toy Story 3 where the toys go to Sunnyside Daycare because, again, Andy's going off to college. This was like the first attempt to recycle these toys for a good purpose. And so they come in, and there's this a kind looking and seeming old bear called Lotso Huggin' Bear, Lotso, yeah. And he at first makes them feel very welcome, but then he says, here's your room. There's the butterfly room and the caterpillar room, and here's what happens in the caterpillar.
Oh, it's gonna be okay, Bullseye.
Woody's going to college with Andy. What he's always wanted.
Ah, he's crazy. College is no place for a toy.
Toys are for playtime.
Oh, speaking of playtime, they're lining up out there.
How many?
There must be dozens.
I can hardly wait.
Places, everyone.
Come to Papa!
a little triggering for me. My three-year-old plays pretty nice for the most part, but yeah, you know, it's funny. Lots of Air was featured there just a minute. You know, he's sort of the hierarchical leader of this this preschool, and you know, you look at his story, and honestly, all the antagonists in all five of the movies really, they have some good to them, and then they get twisted or warped or changed over time. I'm quoting Craig Smalley. He preached a few weeks ago, and he said it's easy for hurt to turn into hate. And you see in those characters, the hurt that they experience actually turns into hatred. So now he has a chance to put others in their place. He's going to make sure that he has the comfortable lot. And I don't think this is two pictures of eternity here. That's more the first movie with Sid and his toys. They're kind of in hell. But here, you know, yeah, life is hard sometimes. But despite the rough treatment, they're actually doing what they're made to do. They're kind of in right relationship, as hard as that is. So we go through seasons where we take our knocks, but God has us right where we're supposed to be. And we don't stay there forever.
Yeah. Yeah, I usually think I'm signing up for the butterfly package, but I'm really living the caterpillar.
Yeah, my house is the caterpillar room. So.
And yeah, so grace and adversity. Oops. Yeah, just maybe Romans 5:3, the bottom scripture. Just not only that, but we rejoice as Christians, as Christ followers, in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. To Jay's point, in all the high points as well as the low points, we say thanks be to God. He is carrying us through, and we are where we need to be. All right, so this will be the last clip.
Thank you.
legit was in the theater watching that going, this is how they're going to turn... You know, stop the Toy Story series.
It really did. It felt like this really is the end. You know, you can suspend disbelief when you're watching a movie. I was like, I was there. Yeah. But yeah, you have this amazing rescue from the incinerator where they're away, apart from their own ability to do anything at the end, they're just holding hands going, well... There's no more cards for us to play. There's no more agency that we can enact here. And they're rescued from outside of themselves. And so this is the gospel that we have received and that we proclaim. Psalm 18 says, he reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. And Jesus, of course, the Son of Man, came to seek and save that which is lost. And that's underneath all the good stories that we know are something of redemption, of love breaking through and changing something.
We all like a happy ending. I think Christians sometimes are ridiculed for, oh, y'all are just wishful thinking. You just want, you know, a happy end. Yeah, well, don't you? Thanks be to God that Christ didn't lead us to speculate about it, though. He's actually shown us the end. The end is in him and with him.
Yeah, well, I think we've run up against our time here, but, you know, I do think there's something about imagination, play, and relationships that in Toy Story, it's still incarnate. It's still tangible. It's still present in the moment. And I think there's something that we're invited into in this story that ultimately has a lot of grace in it. So I hope this is enriching and encouraging on some level for you. And if nothing else, it was a good movie flick this morning to send you out into your day and your week. So, Jay, you want to pray to close us out?
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that indeed you've brought us into your story. Lord, so solidify us in that story, where we actually belong. Lord, I pray for all my friends here gathered as they go about their day today, whether in worship or at home or out. Lord, that we would live as your creation in right relationship with you. We give thanks in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.